So we've been talking about the refuge preliminary practice, and we've talked about taking refuge in the Guru, taking refuge in the Buddha, how to purify, and then also to receive the inspiration. So then with the Dharma, we again do the two visualizations, one with white light, purifying all of our negativities, especially negativities created in relationship to the Dharma. So this could be things like mistreating Dharma texts, or putting other objects on top of them, or keeping them in a low, dirty place. It could also be things that are more serious, such as making up your own teachings and saying that they're the Buddhist teachings. And this can actually happen quite easily, because if you misunderstand the Buddhist teachings, you know, you kind of interpret them your own way, so it isn't something the Buddha actually said, but you make it sound that way. So that's called abandoning the Dharma. It's quite harmful for oneself, and then especially if you talk that way to others, it can be really, you know, not so good and quite damaging. Okay? So, the negative actions committed since beginningless time, particularly those of wrong views, so having wrong views about the Dharma, for example, saying that the Buddha didn't teach rebirth, you know, when in fact he did. Now, whether we believe in rebirth is another thing, but to say the Buddha didn't teach it, that I think is inaccurate. Abandoning the Dharma, what I said before, making up some teaching that you pass off as the Buddha's, what it is, and criticizing the Buddha's teachings, or criticizing other Buddhist traditions. This one's also like really not good, because all the traditions came from the Buddha, and the Buddha taught in a variety of ways, and sometimes said different things at different times to different people, because they have different dispositions, different inclinations. So if we understand that, and we see the Buddha as a skillful teacher, then we don't see these different teachings as contradictory. But otherwise, you know, we might see them as contradictory and criticize other traditions and so on. Okay, now within this, we do have the tradition of debate, and that's also always been very strong in the Buddhist tradition, is to debate. When you're debating, you're talking about ideas, and your purpose is to really increase your intelligence and your understanding. And so debating the views is very different than criticizing the people who believe in them. Okay? So I think, you know, it's fine, and it's encouraged by the Buddha and the masters to debate the views. But then when we start to say, oh, somebody has wrong view, and they're this, and, you know, their tradition, blah, 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 you know, that's not good. But to say, well, this view doesn't hold up to reasoning, that's perfectly okay. Okay? So you have to see the difference in your mind, because there's a big difference between debating to try and really understand and get at what the truth is, versus putting down another tradition out of arrogance, saying, my tradition's better. Yeah, well, maybe you don't even understand your own tradition or the other tradition. Okay? So to avoid doing that. And then buying and selling scriptures for business, disrespecting the text. And, you know, as much as we hear this whole thing about not disrespecting the text, you'll be amazed how many people, you know, they go to turn pages and lick their finger and put their spit on the text, put glasses, put cups, put your mala on top of the text, these kinds of things. You hear it over and over again, and you see people continually doing these kinds of things. Yeah. So we want to purify all the hindrances that we may have created in relationship to the Dharma that would cause us not to meet the Dharma in future lives or to have wrong views in future lives. We have to purify those with the white light coming. And then with the golden light coming, thinking of all the Dharma's qualities and how it leads to liberation, how it leads to enlightenment, how it leads, you know, even to peace amongst human beings in this world. And so with a great deal of faith and confidence in all the various different teachings and methods that the Buddha taught, then imagining those realizations coming into us as we imagine the golden light coming in to us and to all the sentient beings around us as we say Namo Dharmaya, or I take refuge in the Dharma.
I've heard many times this thing about rebirth and how the Buddha taught it and how we need to recognize that. What is the importance of that? Because we also know that the Buddha taught that phenomena inherently exist, but that doesn't mean we hold it as like the highest.
Right. Okay, so you're asking, what is the importance?
Well, why is it always said? I've heard that.
Why is it always said? I think because when you have a view of multiple lives, it gives you a much broader perspective on what suffering means. Okay? Because if we just talk of suffering or dukkha within one life, then it sounds like when you die, it all ends. When you talk about it over many lifetimes, then it gives you a much deeper feeling of what being in samsara means. And similarly, when we think about the kindness of sentient beings, when we think about it over a period of many lifetimes, then we can see how everybody's been kind to us. But when we only think of one lifetime, then it's possible to leave some people out, either because we don't know them or we have a different kind of relationship to them. So, of course, you can practice Buddhism without believing in rebirth, and you can benefit from the Buddha's teachings without believing in rebirth. But to have, I think, a really deep understanding of what the Buddha's talking about, then this expansive view that goes beyond who I am right now in this body is very, very useful.